download from Triple J.
For more music, current affairs, comedy and culture, triplej.net.au.
And now...
Triple J.
Triple J.
Triple J.
Triple J Mornings with Zan.
Well, I had D-Wiz, actually, which is a Brisbane underground pop icon. He's an amazing guy. He actually features in our clip for State of Unrest.
Oh, cool.
He was a surprise band that the rest of the guys from John Steele had organised for me, and I had no idea he was playing, and... Holy moly, it was pretty amazing.
He did Lovers in the Air.
Great.
And indeed it was in the air.
Yeah. We didn't choose like a wedding waltz or whatever you call it. And had you told me 2 years ago that our wedding dance would have been D-Wiz covering Lovers in the Air, well, I would have been surprised for sure.
And here you were. Dancing and feeling all of the feelings. What sort of situation were you in recording this record? Did you have your own space and therefore your own time that you could really take the time that you needed on Everything's a Thread?
Yeah, definitely. We set up shop up at the Sunshine Coast in Luke's parents' basement. And so I think we had about 5 weeks on or off, allowing for some, you know, day trips back to do work and stuff. So we had 5 weeks up there of just permanently set up gear and... Yeah, we got down a lot of the sort of, I guess, you know, bass, B-A-S-E tracks for the album. And then we brought it back to our rehearsal space, you know, funnily enough, run by D-Wiz. And in between metal bands, we recorded all the rest of it over a few months. The best thing about doing it that way is that, yeah, we got to try things so many times. If we couldn't get a vocal right, you know, you'd come back in the next day and you'd give it a try in a different way, and then the next time you'd give it a try, you'd drink 5 red wines, and then you'd give it another go. And eventually you'd find the right combination of red wine and beer and...
the sweet spot.
Vocal tone, and you hit that sweet spot.
Robert Forster produced the first record. Is he someone that is still, I guess, a guiding light or a mentor or even just a friend with the band, even though you're not working with him again for this second album?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's definitely... he was always there as well. And Luke and I had the good fortune of playing a show with him at the National Gallery of Victoria in... maybe July, I think, as just his, you know, backing band, and I've got to know him pretty well and his family, and yeah, just a lovely soul and a very you know, inspiring fella to be around.
How did you actually create the sounds that you wanted to on this record? I know that you were working in a new space and I guess making, you know, your own studio in this space, but did you have to collect a whole bunch of new gear to figure out the kind of, you know, sounds that you wanted to make on Everything's a Threat?
Yeah, pretty much. I had the good fortune to sort of be given money that, well, I guess maybe you'd normally spend in the studio, and I got to spend a few weeks on eBay, and every day the postman would just come with a new nice thing for
me. A toy.
And I got to know him, and it was a good period. But
good friendship.
Often rather than, I guess, researching what sort of mics or gear would work best for what we were trying to get, I really did actually just Google pictures from like Motown recording setups, and particularly like a lot of the krautrock bands and that sort of thing, like Kahn and you know, early Kraftwerk and that sort of thing. I was like, what are they using? What's that mic? And then pretty much just based off that's what I went for with gear. Like, I don't know if they use that mic for a song of theirs that I actually didn't really like or didn't like the sound of, but if they were using it in that picture, usually I would try and find where I could get that anywhere, eBay, Gumtree, wherever.
So that was like your trusted source, going to the bands that you loved and figuring out that if they love that gear, then it's going to work for John Steele singers as well?
Yeah,
that's right. And even if the mic sounds terrible, or at least, you know, we have the sort of creative inspiration to come up with something.
One of the many highlights on this record for me is MJ's On Fire Again. It's got really gorgeous harmonies all the way through it. What's it all about, though? Please tell me it's about Michael Jackson's Pepsi commercial.
That's definitely played some influence on the track. I guess I could explain how that track name came together, because it was a jam that we recorded on our phones, and I knew it was good. I really, really liked it. And I had a bit of a Michael Jackson feel about it, so we just called it MJ. Yeah. Then it just sort of stuck, and it was just called MJ, MJ, MJ. And then we had the chorus lyrics, and we thought, I guess, you know, we'll combine the chorus lyrics with Michael Jackson's unfortunate hair incident. Yeah. And that's how the track came about.